The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning. Welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and we're going to get into our guest right now because we always run out of time. Every show he's been on for years, so I want to welcome Matt Veach. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I've got, you know, it's sad news for me, but in a way it's good. But for you, you didn't run for re-election, so come January 1st, you won't be the representative from Saratoga anymore. What's your feelings on it? Because you've been in a long time. What's your feelings on that?
Getting used to saying private citizen Matt Veach, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I mean, I think it's been a good run. I mean, you know, 18 years ago, which seems crazy to say,
yeah,
almost,
it does.
You know. I got elected into office. There was a big election in 2005, if you remember, where Democrats swept all of the offices in Saratoga Springs. And really that night, that election night, you know, I'd been active in the Republican committee already and had said to my wife, I said, you know, I think maybe we should run for office, you know, that night, because there was, you know, basically opportunities everywhere. Right.
Sure.
You know, so I did a lot of work that whole first year. 2007 was the year I ran, and then got elected. I came in second place for supervisor, which Joanne Yepsen was the supervisor who got the most votes in that election. And so her and I served together for 6 years, I think, before she ran for mayor. Then I had Peter Martin as my partner for a little while.
Right.
Tara Gaston and Michelle Madigan.
Yeah.
So I've had four different
partners and Peter. The board.
Yeah. Four different second supervisors.
Sure.
Or partners, I guess you could say, at the county. So,
you know, one thing that amazes me is that Saratoga has been getting more and more Democrat ever since we got to be a really nice city. I mean, there's been more and more moving up
from
downstate and that. And they're Democrats down there. So we've become more of a Democratic city, and it used to be a real strong Republican hold. So for Republicans to get elected in Saratoga now, it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that hopefully what I did was, you know, work with the other side. I mean, that's just, you know, a given.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, the job of an elected official all the time is really to be for your community,
sure.
Right? So whatever's happening, you know, whether you have some reservations about it, if it's what the community wants, it's your job to try to implement that, get that done, right?
Yeah.
So you're the number one thing you are is for the city, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, hopefully that's shown through in my work that I did. I mean, everything I tried to do, I mean, at least got done, was really for the betterment of our community. And at the county level, it was to represent our community as best my ability among all the other communities in Saratoga County, who every single one of them have their own, you know, goals, they're for their community. Right. And so it's trying to convince the others that, you know, what we're trying to do in the city is good for them. Number one. And good for everybody in the county, number two.
Sure.
And when you could make that argument, then you got the votes, right?
Yeah. It doesn't hurt that Saratoga's one of the biggest money making.
Yeah.
Cities
doesn't always resonate with our neighbors, though.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, what the share to the county is, I mean, it's a good source of revenue.
Yeah.
I think for the towns that aren't a large revenue source that kind of
sure
share.
But one of the things that happened before I got elected, actually, and was an issue when I got elected, is the sales tax formula, right?
Right.
And you know, I haven't talked about it for 18 years because it was never going to happen again, really, in Saratoga County, and probably won't happen again, and frankly for good reason. The city has really been able to grow at a pace that would have outpaced any, you know, partnership with the county and sales tax. So, but that's a great example of that, right? Like we went our own way on that, you know, it kind of made the towns, I'm trying to think of what you said before I started talking, but it's early in the morning.
Rely on us a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was like, then we kind of took our stuff back, right? Like, yeah. They were getting a portion of our sales tax. It was a partnership among the towns, right? And for us to go our own way kind of, you know, was a slap in the face to them, right? Yeah. And so they not that they haven't continued to like want to like push against the city, they do in some ways, but yeah. It's bar closing times is a great example. I think we actually talked about that here,
right? We did.
You know, they don't see it as a town issue, so therefore it's not their issue, and who cares how I vote on it, right? You know, kind of thing. So we can vote no, and then we the city have to struggle with the consequences of
exactly.
that, right?
Exactly.
But you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of things we could point to that I did. You know, I mean, I really what got me into politics was the Geyser Road Trail. You know, I was a member of the Southwest Neighborhood Association, and you know, they were looking at trying to build a sidewalk out on Geyser Road. It was at the time a sidewalk, and you know, did a lot of work as the chair of their committee. Working with the state to try to get some fund money, which we did, working with the city hall to make sure that, you know, they supported the project.
Sure.
You know, again, I was actually talking to my wife about this yesterday. The arc in politics is sometimes slow.
Yeah.
And it took about 15 years for the city to, from the idea of a Geyser Road Trail to the construction to actually get done.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you have to be engaged in that the whole time. There's no way to get out of that.
That was a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And I know when the bike trail came in with it, because I was a little bit involved in politics back then, not a lot. I mean, I never was in office, but I was on a few city committees that the mayor, you know, first Mayor Yebsen and then Mayor Johnson put on,
yeah.
and involved in the change of the form of government. So I kind of knew what was going on a little bit and involved. And I'll tell you, that was a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you did it because you had to deal with different towns.
Town of Milton, you know? For sure. Yeah. I mean, it runs right up to their border. Right.
Yeah.
And then they have a sidewalk in their town that kind of extends it. Right.
Sure.
But there was a little bit of that in the county as well, because Geyser Road is a county highway. So,
right.
You know, the county had to be on board the whole time, and they had to be up to speed with what was going on. So, you know, it I don't want to say it got easier once I got elected. But it was different once I got elected, right? Yeah. I was working from the inside as opposed
to,
you know.
You can see more things, kind of trying and speed things up.
And you could leverage your elected, you know, your elected official position to say,
sure.
you know, here's, you know, get into the meeting, get into the room a little bit more. And so I think that helped a lot, too. But, you know, today we don't even really think about it as an issue, right? I mean, you know, Grand Avenue, they're finding funding to build, you know, a sidewalk out there. Crescent Avenue, they're looking at, you know, Tonko gave them a big grant to try to build a trail out that way as part of the Greenbelt Trail. So, you know, Geyser Road was kind of the first one, and we could see that we could do it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, now it's kind of like, let's do something else. Let's make it part of a citywide, you know, trail network that we're going to have, which I think is great. And Railroad Run, too, had expanded through that time. You know, so, hey.
No, you did a great job. And one of the things that impressed me was, and I used to talk about this every show, was what you did for the punching in and bringing it up to modern times, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Made it easier for the employees in the payroll department. And, I mean, you brought that technology, basically.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, the parts that I think people didn't really see were those parts, right? The county, while we promoted that as much as we could, you know, it's definitely not city direct,
right,
kind of work.
Right.
And, you know, we rewrote the whole budget process back in 2021. And, you know, I was kind of the pusher for that. You know, our processes were kind of broken. You know, we joke today and have a lot of opinions about a government efficiency today.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, 5-6 years ago at the county, we were looking at that, right? Like, how does our processes work? What do our policies say employees can do and can't do? What gives somebody a right to do something or not within our functioning,
sure.
right? How do you get stuff passed as a law? How does the board of supervisors operate because we didn't have a real good rules for how we managed our meetings. It got really chaotic. So, you know, that stuff's important. And I think people sometimes forget that there is like this whole other part of like charter review committees. Right. I mean, they're looking at the operation of government and how does it work better for people. And I think that's important work to do.
Well, it is. But, you know, on the county level, it just shows the position that you're in, having to make things good for the city, but then again, being a part of the county. And, you know, you did a great job. Which shows in your capability to get reelected every 2 years. Well, so
I appreciate
you know,
that.
you're gonna be missed, but I just have a feeling that we're gonna see you, you know, as much as we see you now. So. One of the things that you're involved in was the budget process for the county.
Yes.
And obviously, I don't know, that's got to be passed soon, hasn't it?
Yeah, so they proposed the budget on Wednesday. We have our budget process works a little later than the city's. The city's is like October, November. Ours is like November, December. So our budget doesn't come out usually until after Election Day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes before, but I think the cutoff date for the administrator is October 31st. So they have up until that point to do all the internal work, and then they have to put it out at a certain day. You know, it's $434 million, which is, again, over the time I've been in office, we were under $300 million when I started. So our budget has grown substantially in the last, you know, 18 years, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But the good part about it is, you know, our taxes are still going down. We're doing a 5% tax cut in this budget for all of our residents. That's a really good thing. You know, the administrator and his message, which I think wasn't wrong, was to talk a little bit about how the tax cap kind of penalizes counties like Saratoga. Right. Because we started at a low tax rate when the tax cap was enacted, which doesn't give us a lot of ability to grow our tax base because they limit us.
Right.
You know, if you think about Saratoga, our tax rate per thousand, I think, was $2 and something, whereas Schenectady's was $6 per thousand, right? So Schenectady can take that $6 and grow it, where we can only take $2 and grow it. It's smaller increments, right? Mm-hmm. Again, good for the taxpayer, so I'm not saying that it's always a bad thing, but it gets difficult for the government to continue to provide the services we need to provide when we can't grow our revenue at the same pace as everybody else. Right. So he made that point in the meeting. I don't think the supervisors are going to take it. It's just my impression. They're not going to take it at this year to break the tax cap or do anything like that. I think we've got a basically flat budget that we're going to just put out. Okay. But at the end of the day, I think that's something we have to be aware of as we go forward, because it's definitely a challenge for our county every year to not be able to take advantage of the growth that we have.
Right.
You know, back in the 80s and the 90s, we did that when there was no tax cap. You could keep it at $2, like say $2 per thousand.
Sure.
Grow the tax base by more than 2%, keep it at $2 per thousand, and make all that revenue. Right.
Right.
Now you are at $2 per thousand. You grow faster than the tax cap rate. You have to now lower the taxes because you can only collect so much money.
So much money, right? Yeah, that's kind
of
crazy.
It's a lot of math for Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, but
it is. But
crazy. That's how it works, right? Yeah. And so it keeps us from actually, you know, if I charge you $2 every year, you're fine, right? I'm not raising your taxes, but I'm not allowed to do that in the tax cap. I have to lower your taxes,
right?
Every year.
And I mean, expenses grow every year.
Yes, inflation has hit us hard.
Right.
Lack of federal funding has hit us hard. All the federal buzzwords today, SNAP and all those other things, are going to hit us really hard. Yeah. The Medicaid things in the bill that was passed by the federal government is going to hit Saratoga County. We're not immune, even though we're very wealthy and we don't spend a lot on social services because of that. We're still hit. We're still going to get hit pretty hard when these things come through.
Well, I see
through.
The SNAP's been approved for November.
Yes, and the state will fill in the gap.
Right, and there's some talk yesterday late that there may come to some sort of agreement.
Yes. Let's hope that happens.
I hope so.
I got airplane tickets in February. Hopefully they're open by then.
airline?
Yeah, they're cutting 10% of the flights. Yesterday, I think they did.
I know it.
That's tough.
But it's all over the place. I know I had mailed a friend a package to Canada
Oh yeah,
in the beginning of,
and they take it,
I
takes forever.
It was September, and they went on strike the next day that I mailed in. It was held up for like 3-4 weeks, and it's, and then the airlines went on strike. So.
I ordered on eBay something from France.
Okay,
and it took over a month to get to my house, and I thought it was actually not going to make it. Like, an email came and said, like, the customs had returned it back to the sender because they hadn't followed the tariff process. Or it was like a $2 spoke for my bike or something like that. And it took forever to get here because it went, like, back to the sender. They had to fill out some other paperwork. It was, like, a whole nother, the duty on it went up, so it cost a little bit more. And then it finally got here. And I'm like, it just showed up in my mailbox one day. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I even got this.
Well, believe it or not, this...
it's unbelievable.
This friend of mine who's... at Skidmore has a friend that she grew up with in China that's at the University of Toronto. Well, they can't get the original brand of Sun Chips up there, and she loves them. So I bought 3 bags at $2.79 a bag at Walmart, put them in a little box. I mean, you know, as small as I could because they try. So here I had, what, $9 worth of chips. Cost me $38 to ship them to Canada, and the lady said, "You're nuts." Why don't you? And that's the day they went on strike,
right?
And so these chips were hanging out.
Oh,
she's
God.
Dying for them up there, and I'm saying to myself, "Something's wrong," you know. But anyway, yeah, you have to be careful.
Well, just to kind of close this a little bit, I want to do the public service announcement part, which is the budget schedule. So. On Wednesday next week is our budget workshop for the supervisors. That's at 4:30. Our public hearing on our budget is Tuesday, December 2nd at 4:30. And then we adopt the budget on December 10th at 4:30. So that's the kind of the schedule that we go on for the budget. It's a little different than the cities. We do a lot of budget presentation. Then we have the public hearing, and then we only have one. And then we adopt the budget at a special board meeting. But again, unless there's some glaring thing that we've missed in the budget, I don't foresee a lot of public comment because it's a flat budget.
Sure.
Basically, it does the same things we did this year. The taxes go down, right? And so there's not a lot of push for, you know, what I could see as controversy in the budget process. So.
Yeah. That's good.
But maybe not. Who knows? Maybe we get 50 people show up and there's some issue that they need us to resolve.
You know, I found out in my life in politics started young with my father being a council person and in Gloversville, and that people really don't care.
I mean, as long as there's not a major impact to them, it's not really a controversial.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just how local politics is.
Yeah. It's where, you know, not to get into it too much, but the city budget has controversy because, you know, there's the cuts to the not-for-profits. There's some pretty substantial things in there.
Sure.
Again, I haven't still don't have any say in the budget, but at the end of the day, those are real kind of controversial things because they affect groups that rely on that funding every year.
Exactly.
And especially with the Rise homeless shelter. I mean, that's a big one.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't fund that at all, that's going to be interesting to see what happens next. But
yeah.
But that was the proposal, right? I mean, that was in the preliminary budget, was to defund all of the not-for-profits, you know, whether it's the senior center or preservation or Rise, you know, they're all zeroed out. So,
and I don't know, is the community development block grant still
that's
been going down.
Yep.
I mean,
and
when I was on that, they didn't get a lot anyway.
Does the I should know this, but I don't. But I think the big beautiful bill eliminated it. I think it's eliminated.
It could be.
And if it is, then that program ends, and we no longer do CDBG.
And they weren't they didn't have a lot of money to play with for the amount of people. I mean, you know, they had probably 60 organizations apply every year, and we had to sit there and weed out down to, I don't know.
Four.
four or five, and it was ridiculous. But
we were talking about becoming a countywide CDBG community because we were entitled to it as part of the entitlement, right? So our county's size, 250,000 people, qualifies us now to become an entitled county, whereas the city is an entitled city, right? And we were in the middle of negotiating that, you know, talking with the city, discussing whether, you know, the amount of money would change from about $330,000 the city gets to like almost $2 million if it went to the county, right? And once they put up the bill, we kind of stopped our discussions because we didn't know what was going to happen. And so that's one that that's going to go beyond my time. Yeah. if it comes back. So yeah,
it's been scary on the federal level. I didn't expect all the things that yes. are happening to happen. You yes. know, I mean, I was impressed with what he did the first term, but I don't know what's going on this time.
Yeah,
I just feel bad.
Well, anyway, I mean, I think, again, if we're going to move into the elections a little bit, that's something we can talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'd like
the impact of that on our elections.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about our elections this week.
Sure.
I was kind of happy the way everything turned out, except for one of the guests that was on last week. And I really was impressed by the two of them.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a shame. I feel that he didn't win. But, you know, what was your take on that?
So I think that the real winning group in this election was One Saratoga.
Right.
And this is their second election that they endorsed me last time, all, you know, full disclosure. And they were about to endorse me this time, and then I dropped out. So, you know, so again, I appreciate their endorsement. But, you know, they really... I think at the end of the day, people really do want, you know, pragmatic, you know, steady leadership, right? They don't really want, I don't know how what the right term is, but they don't really want like too much type A personality.
Yeah.
You know, they want people who are going to put their head down and get and solve a problem.
Work together.
And you can have disagreements, and they can be loud disagreements if you want. But at the end of the day, you have to be able to work with your fellow commissioner. Saratoga Springs is a government. You know this, and I know this because I currently serve on a charter committee, and you have been on them. Right. It is designed for cooperation.
Yeah.
If you cannot do that, if you cannot work like that as a council, our city suffers, right?
Yeah, it does.
And I feel like the last two councils, and maybe even the one before that, but for sure the last two councils, that cohesion is just not there.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if it's the people that are in office. You know, I watched a thing on Dan DeFederici's page, where they were talking about that. They were talking about the people in office and how important it is that you have the right people in office. And that's important. But I think society has changed, especially since the pandemic a little bit. I think politics overall has changed since the pandemic. Where there is a lot more anger in the public, they feel they demand things to be done yesterday.
Yeah.
Where again, like I told you, guys are old trail. Took 15 years, right? It's hard to the government doesn't move that fast sometimes. No. And then I think when everybody is parsing everybody else's words today too. So like you say something. You know, like right now, like I'm talking, right? So I could say something that may just be a little, didn't really mean it, but just a little off. And yeah. Then they're like, that's what they focus on. You said X, and how horrible are you,
well,
right?
Well, one of the things about today, and keep your thought there. One of the things about today, even in normal society, is that you cannot talk about anything without getting into an argument.
Right.
You have blinders on to... different issues, and you can't talk about it civilly.
Yes.
And that's in life and in politics.
Yes.
Everything is just so crazy today. I remember when I first moved up here and got involved a little bit in the city, they would scream and argue at the council meetings, and then they'd go out and have a drink together
right.
after.
Right. Exactly.
And it's just... And Ronald Reagan was my favorite politician.
Yeah.
And he and Tip O'Neill used to argue like heck, but you know, sometimes they could come to an agreement.
Yes.
And we don't have that today.
Yes. No. And it's also very easy in society to kind of cut off the opposing view, right? Like I'm done. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Right. You can do that on your phones, and you can do that on your Facebook pages, and you can do that in your Instagrams or whatever. You know, when you see something that you don't like anymore, you can just turn it off. Right. I'm just turning you off. And I saw some of that at the council table. Right. And our commissioners, where it was like, I'm just turning you off. I'm not going to deal with you no matter what you say. It doesn't matter if I agree with you. I'm still not with you. Right.
Right.
And I think that's, again, I'm not saying just this council, but, you know, the last couple, it's kind of felt that way, is that it's like we just turn each other off, and then there's no collaboration. You can't then re-engage later. You can't come back around a day later or after you thought about it, right? Maybe you think you might have said something wrong. Come around to that commissioner the next day and be like, hey, look, let's try to do this and work on this and look, put some of what we said at the table aside. No, you can't do that today.
No.
You can't walk in there the next day and be like, let's work on this. Yeah, they're just no, I'm not working with you anymore. I'm done. Right.
Yeah, and that permeates through all, not just here in our council, permeates through all of politics today.
Yes.
And that's what's frustrating.
And I think, you know, one thing I'll say about this last election that we just had, I don't think we really talked much about issues at all. It was really about the personalities of the people who ran, right? And the messaging from One Saratoga, which was, we're going to work with everyone, which is what I think people want, right? People want to have that commissioner. You got in a fight with your guy yesterday, and tomorrow you're in the room working it out, right?
Yeah.
That just isn't happening. No. And then the framing of other people as, you know, somehow dangerous to our community, to me, I find that very awful in politics today, is that, you know, one side is just going to destroy the community if they get in office. I just don't believe that. And people don't get into office for that reason.
No, they don't.
And I think it's just kind of disingenuous to have that kind of fight.
I mean, what I see locally here in Saratoga, and you know my feelings about Saratoga politics, our government, and but I've softened. I never went in with blinders on, but it sets itself up as not agreeing. And thinking, people get in and then they think, well, they're kings of their own thing. But you talk about that One Saratoga, and I think why that party's growing is because they're more of an independent party.
Yes.
And I think people like that. They don't want to be a strict Democrat. They don't want to. Well, there's a lot of them that do, because some of these races were so close that I couldn't believe it. But they're not a strict party. They are going for a person with the issues.
Sure.
And I kind of agree with that. And they are growing. I mean, now anybody running for office wants that endorsement.
Yes. You know? I mean, look, there's some other parts to that. Yes, I mean, I think everybody should want that endorsement. I don't think that happened this time. I think the certain candidates didn't even go for it, right? Because they already knew they were not going to get the endorsement, right? But yes, I think, and again, look, One Saratoga is mostly a group of Democrats who broke away from the Democratic Party some years ago.
Right.
There are some Republicans in their main group, but it's mostly the Democrats. Courtney DeLeonardis, who's the chair, is you know, former chair of the Democratic Party in our city, right? So, but their mindset is much more of a collaborative mindset, right? And they're like, well, not everything that the other side does is wrong. And you need to work with. So, you know, people say, like, what was the biggest issue in this campaign? Right. If you ask that question, it really was character and civility.
Yeah.
It wasn't the budget. It wasn't sidewalks. It wasn't open space or development. It wasn't, you know, the charter.
Right.
It was how is this person going to act in office?
Sure.
And I found that very kind of interesting to me. that was the biggest issue was just your demeanor.
I did too, and that's been the past two elections.
Yeah,
because the council before that was kind of had some problems too.
similar kind of situations.
Problems, and the one race there that I thought would be a complete wipeout was only decided by a couple hundred votes. And I'm saying to myself, don't people listen or watch what's going on?
Yes.
But, you know, that's local politics.
Yeah, and look, I think there's, again, I serve on a charter committee right now.
Yeah.
A little bit of life after politics, right?
Yeah.
I serve on the charter. Thank you, Mayor Safford, for putting me on. We're in the middle of working through the charter, looking at changes we could make within the charter that the council could vote on, right? That they don't require a referendum. So that's what we're doing right now. And we're getting toward the end of our work. And I think we're going to have a slate of things for the council to vote on by the end of the year. But the committee has 2-year charge, right? So the second year, next year, is our look at the form of government operationally. And what do we do about it, right? You know, whether it's city manager, whether it's strong mayor, whether it's continuing with a commission form, which, again, is, I think, on it struggling.
Yeah.
Because people see how that can be so dysfunctional. But, you know, again, some of it's character, but at the end of the day, there's a lot to that. Yeah. I'll get into it today. But
and I'll tell you, I've softened up. I was city manager, you know this, for so many years. And now, you know, if we had a strong mayor,
yes,
or mayor, that wouldn't bother me a bit.
The city does have a challenge with executive leadership.
Yeah.
And because of the five commissioners. Sure. The other thing that I would say the city has a challenge with, just from my opinion, is policy and procedure. I mean, again, back to that kind of dry, arcane stuff.
Yeah.
Because there is no kind of centralized point, those things don't get done.
Yeah.
And so when the council runs into a challenge that requires some sort of a like direction or directional instruction, there isn't any in our city. And so, you know, looking at some of the things with, you know, lawyers, and looking at some of the things with, you know, sidewalks and who does what, it just never got done because the city has five different departments that make their own rules for what they do. Right.
Sure.
So there is no overall, like when we run into a citywide issue that the government has to try to solve, what do we do? And then everybody looks around at each other and says, well, we don't have that policy.
No.
Right. And so that's the problem that I think the city has right now.
Yeah,
and as well as citywide charge departments that run under a commissioner. And I think that's going to be a lot of stuff we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, IT, for example, running under finance, you know, the city attorney running under the mayor's office, which doesn't really, but it kind of does. Mayor makes the appointment. You know, so we're finding little certain department, risk and safety, under the accounts office. Right. So there's certain departments that are like citywide offices, citywide departments, and they're beholden to a commissioner, and that can create problems.
Yeah.
Within,
and I think once that gets set, then you have a person or a department that can give direction to the other areas of the city.
Well, again, you know, if it was a centralized executive, I won't say strong mayor, but I'll say it.
Whatever. Yeah.
But if you say that, that's exactly what that is, right?
Right.
The mayor's office then takes over all of that citywide functioning.
Yeah.
And divides it out down to the departments that to do X, Y, and Z to function, right?
Definitely.
And you need to have heads of the departments. I'm not saying like we have one head and there's
no.
There's no commissioner of public works anymore. You're going to have that person.
No, but you have a person that heads public works.
And your council's power in that role, right, is to funding is really the funding in the law,
and
right?
The legislature, right?
So at the end of the day, the budget is how they control the mayor's power in a strong mayor form of government. They say, well, we don't think we need $10 million over here. We need to put some money over here because we have this priority instead.
Yeah.
And that's where the council's kind of power is, right? It's a check against the mayor to just do whatever they want to do.
And, you know, we've got great department heads in our deputy commissioners.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying anything bad about the people in City Hall. They're fantastic.
No,
they're
awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But
what they have to deal with every day. Oh my God.
Or every 2 years.
Yeah,
switch over.
That too.
But yeah, I mean, we got great people that work in City Hall. And I think, you know, not to get into this too much, but I think what makes it real difficult is the dysfunction of maybe every 2 years getting somebody new running that department when the person that's there, they run smooth. So, I mean, I know you're looking at that.
Well, I mean, look, the truth of it is, and this is maybe a symptom, I don't, we'll probably examine this a little bit at the charter committee, but the level of experience that people have in our offices right now, right, are very low.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking away with 18 years of service.
Right.
That's unheard of in the city government right now, right? I mean, you know, fellow supervisors on year two, you know, maybe I think 4 years is the tops we got there for experience. And, you know, again, government is not a fast thing. And so even with 4 years of service, you don't necessarily know everything about the job, right? No. There's things that come up that you go, oh, that's new. Exactly. I mean, that still happens to me after 18 years. I'm like, wait, we do it that way? I'm shocked. And right. then we go back and we try to fix it or we try to take care of it.
And there's always something to learn.
And there's always an issue that's going to come up, right? Yep. I mean, again, like I said to you before we got on the show, I mean, after the election day, I feel a little busier as a supervisor, right. even though I'm exiting. Because three or four things have come up in the last week of we gotta handle this, we gotta take care of that. We have transitioning that we've got to do over the next month and a half of people coming in. You know, it's gonna be. I think I'm gonna be busy.
Yeah, really.
For the next month and a half.
You know, one thing I have to ask you, and you know, this is, I don't know if it's really that important because the day it happened was a terrible windy day when the airplane crashed.
Yeah. Well, you got to talk about countywide races.
Okay. Do we have air controller at the Saratoga Airport? No.
Saratoga County Airport is not air traffic control.
Okay, because I know my neighbor who's passed away, I mean, this was years ago, he was the air controller for Glens Falls Airport.
Yep, they had air traffic.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, I just didn't know if that was something the county looks at or...
Part of why I think Glens Falls had air traffic control is that they were a commercial airport.
Oh, okay.
Early on, like in the 40s and 50s when they were first kind of coming up with county airports, Glens Falls actually had commercial service that left its airport. I forget the name of the airline, but there was an airline that did New York only, and it like landed you at like Glens Falls, Plattsburgh, you know, Newburgh before it was even a really big airport. You know, there was these little, you would land in White Plains, and so you were able to take a plane in New York from Glens Falls to Plattsburgh,
right.
You know, 40, 35 minute flight.
Yeah.
Right. And you could do that. Right. That of course doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
So they were more of the primary airport where Saratoga was more of a airport, secondary kind of airport. And we still are, we're actually not a primary airport, even with our new facility that we built there, which is awesome. Go over there someday and walk in. It's amazing what we've done. The question is how much use will it get? And you know, again, there was a lot of state money that we got for that. The county didn't put a ton in, but it was, you know, still a lot of money. You know, we're struggling with a restaurateur.
Oh, I know.
Right. We got one coming November. We got a new contract.
Good. Excellent.
And so we got another restaurant.
And that airport has been getting more and more traffic in the past years, I think.
But I don't know anything about the details behind the investigation into that crash.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, again, the day it happened, the winds were really high.
Oh, yeah.
That type of airplane in a 50-mile-an-hour wind is not going to do well.
No,
it is. Or you have to be a really experienced pilot to understand how to fly into that wind.
Yeah.
I mean, even jumbo jets at major airports don't fly when the wind speed gets up to a certain level, 50 miles an hour, right? They ground
tough.
The flights until the wind subsides, and then you go up in the air,
that
right? So, it's sad what happened, and it'll be investigated.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure there will be a few recommendations from the FAA about what Saratoga County Airport has to do.
Sure.
You know, we had, years and years ago, we had if you remember, it was one of the acts at SPAC, their plane crashed at the airport. They were coming in for their SPAC show and they clipped a tree or something and couldn't make the runway and landed like in the grassy field next to it. Nobody died or anything like that, but, you know, all the land clearing at the Saratoga Airport was because of that.
Yeah.
You know, people got really upset in the town of Milton when, we cleared all the trees, but that was ordered by the FAA because we had many trees growing too close to runways.
Sure.
And I mean, while our airport looked very rural, and not a big airstrip, it was dangerous. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think there's going to be some of that, same recommendation to try to clear around the airport to make it safer. But let's get into the county races just a little
just
bit, because
let's get into the county races.
It's actually probably almost a bigger story in my mind than what happened in the city.
Okay.
I mean, the city could have been surprising depending on which side you're on, but the county was really maybe more. You know, the Trump effect, I think, definitely expressed itself here. Town of Wilton, that supervisor lost. John Lant had been there for 6 years, I think.
Yeah,
I
was surprised.
Town of Clifton Park, second supervisor lost. That's been a Republican for as long as I can remember. Flipped to Democrat in Clifton Park. A lot of weighted vote in both of those towns. Town of Wilton, 17,000 people or so. Second supervisor at Clifton Park is like 18,000 people. That's big numbers at the county when it comes to our weighted vote, how right. we vote. Both supervisors in Saratoga Springs, of course. The supervisor in the town of Malta continues to stay, Cynthia Young, who I've worked with in respect greatly.
Yeah. You know, I kind of like that Tim though. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, yeah.
The good people
yeah.
lost.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I have, well, of course. I mean, George Inger and I are very close friends yeah. and, you know, I'm sad that he lost as well, but you know, the winds of politics are what they are. I mean, not everybody can win, but you know, so there's that. And then looking at some of the town boards, which gets a little even deeper into what's going on is, town of Clifton Park off went Democrat. So I think Phil Barrett, who is our chair of the board right now,
right.
Is facing a board in Clifton Park where they're all Democrats. I think there might be one other Republican. So he's got a majority of Democrats. He's never had that as a supervisor. Their town clerk went Democrat in the town of Clifton Park. So, and their second supervisor, right? So, so that is an interesting bellwether for the county to have a town really just go one direction right. like that. That doesn't happen often in Saratoga County, but even in some of the smaller towns like Malta, and Wilton, the Democrats won. And, oh, and as well as Greenfield, you know, Kevin Veach, my dad's cousin, you know, he lost his race to, to a guy who's, is a registered Republican, but was endorsed by the Democrats. It was close up in Greenfield, but it did not go his way. So, so that when you get to January 1st, right, you know, the day after my last day, right. The Board of Supervisors is going to look a lot different. And there's going to be a lot more voices for different kinds of things at the county. And it'll be interesting to see how the Board of Supervisors handles that.
It works together.
The Republicans still have a majority overall, even on January 1st. So my guess is Phil Barrett remains chair. You know, of course, all the appointments that we have that we make as a Board of Supervisors will all be voted in as recommendations from the majority party. But, you know, my hope is that, you know, the Republicans kind of see what's going on and make some decisions. I'm not saying like fall on the sword for everything, but find things that you can work with the Democrats on. I mean, that is what people want. They want you to work together.
And
you need to have somebody like that out there that can say, well, you know, maybe we should do X, even though we don't really feel like it's our thing, quote unquote. I'm putting my hands in quotes. It's something we should do because we know that that's something the other side cares about. Right. Sure. And how do we make it work so everybody is at least somewhat happy with it? You know, again, it's back to cooperation and being moderate.
Right.
And can we do that at the county? I mean, I think, and the other thing that's a real big issue coming up is everybody's got to run again next year. The state government won in court that town-wide elections, not the city.
Right.
But the town elections are now on even year elections, 2 year terms.
Okay.
So you starting in 2026, every town is running on a 2 year cycle on an even year, which really, I think, hurts the Republicans. And again, I'm saying that in my partisan voice, I rarely do that, but it really hurts the Republicans because those years are usually midterm elections for the federal government or presidential years. Right. And you know, unless there's like a major wave of Republican sentiment, you know, I mean, Saratoga County still voted for Harris in 2024. Right. You know, I think that's going to be a challenge because then even some of the smaller towns that are a little more conservative are going to have challenges to their power. So look, if it goes Democrat, it does. It's just the way it goes. I mean, eventually it flips and maybe it flips back. Who knows? The arc of politics, again, takes many, many years to sort itself out. But at the end of the day, I do see there being a challenge for the current kind of system that we have at Saratoga County changing over time. So,
well, I think, you know, I mean, my take on it is that on the local level, I don't think national politics plays as much of a deal. On county, I think the higher up you go on the count, like the county level, it has an effect. On the state level, it certainly has an effect.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the federal level. I think you can make more of a point on the local level that it's about local issues.
Yeah, it you can, but I still think it played a role this time.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at who, and we'll go back to the city, right? The people who did not succeed were George and Chuck.
Right.
And Mayor Safford, congratulations to him. But those were the registered Republicans that ran. Right. Right? You know, again, Tim Cole is not a registered Republican. Jess Treacy is not a registered Republican. Joanne Kiernan is not a registered Republican. Right. So if voters are parsing it to that level, which they may have, they may. Who knows? I don't know. The exit polls will tell us. I think Skidmore's doing one. May have played a role in people's choice, right? Like, I'm going to go with the D, or in it because Jess is a no party and, or Jess is a D and Joanne's a no party. Then that gives me more comfort level with them as opposed to if they were actual endorsed Republicans.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I put my finger up in the air sometimes, try to figure out which way the wind is blowing. But, you know, to me, that was an interesting point that the two ones that didn't win, you know, and again, John had some incumbency, and again, there were some challenges in that race that we won't get into, but but the two that didn't succeed were Chuck and George,
right?
And they were the ones that were registered Republicans.
Sure.
So
yeah, and you know,
so national politics may have played a little bit of a role in the city.
Well, yeah, but I think at the higher up you go, it plays more.
Oh, sure,
role,
absolutely, and especially with candidates, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. The county level is tough because those are local races too in our county,
sure.
Right? We don't have a county executive or anything like that where you can get into more national politics.
Yeah,
but yeah, as soon as you hit assembly, you know, for Saratoga Springs, it becomes much more of a national level conversation, right? And you know, I'm not sure I want to get into those conversations. I have my views, and you know, I don't really want to be out there doing that. So, you know, again, that's partly why I never ran for anything else. It's
and I think what happens nationally in the next 2 years also.
Yes.
Actually, the next 2 years, because the third year will be an election year, is going to play a part in, you know, if things go good in the next two years, I think it can swing back. It all depends on how everything goes.
Well, I mean, in 2026, next year, again, there's going to be the midterm elections for Congress and all that. You're going to have your statewide stuff in there, the governor's race. You're going to have all of your local races, your countywide races that are going to be on there, because those are some countywide races are still on the odd year, but some are on the even year already. Those will be on there. Probably a few judgeships. In Saratoga Springs, our local people will not be on the ballot, right? So for us, it's just kind of like a normal year. But if you're in town of Greenfield, all of your local candidates are on that ballot too.
Ballot, yeah.
So you're going to vote for a slew of like 15 or 16 people next year if you're in a town.
And it could swing.
Yes. And again, if you look at general voter turnout, you know, you get more turnout in the even years. I understand that argument that the state made for doing this.
Yeah.
But you also get more of a, I don't want to call it a mix, but you definitely get a lot higher turnouts for Democrats and during those years as well.
Yeah.
So, and maybe Republicans too, but we don't hold enrollment advantages in some towns, right?
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Well, it's like the state. I, you know, it's very hard for a Republican to win a governor's race, even though they take 50 out of the 56 counties or however many counties we've got in the state, they still
57.
Can't. They still. 57.
No, there's 62 counties, but the five boroughs count as one.
All right. So we get maybe 53, 54 Republican counties.
Right. And like Erie goes D, Clinton usually goes D, Albany is D,
and
right?
Syracuse,
you get three or four that just
But the thing is you know, one time the Republicans had a good candidate and he got beat by 2.5 million votes, and I said, I don't understand that, how they can take so many counties. And he said, well, you know, most of the votes are downstate.
Yeah.
Half of the state votes are downstate.
Yes.
And he said, and don't forget, people vote, trees don't.
Right.
Which is true. I mean, we're a lot rural up here.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you get above Westchester County.
Yeah. I mean, what does this state have? 22 million?
22
people,
million.
Maybe? You know, if you count Suffolk and Nassau County,
yeah,
you know, 15, 16 of them are down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the rest are up here.
Up
so
here.
You're, Yeah, maybe 5 million up here in the upstate, so, and going down. I mean, it's the numbers are going down. So other than Saratoga and a couple other counties where we're growing, but so it's mostly going down, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, how do you offset that?
Right.
You know, you need major apathy down in the city.
It's very hard. Yeah, very hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, she made her announcement yesterday. I think it's going to be really ugly. It already is. I mean, and the question is whether or not, you know, again, I don't know how that's going to turn out, but you know, it's the same thing as kind of like what happened here. It's like a lot more of personality politics and a lot less of issues. What are we trying to solve in the state of New York? And there, we have tons of issues here in the state.
Oh, we have.
But
especially the mayor that got elected in New York. We have a lot of issues, but so, he got elected.
Now people have to work with him, right? Yeah. I found it interesting, though. I just got to say this. The New York Times, right? I get their daily news update every day. And it's so funny because he got elected on Tuesday.
Right.
By Saturday, they were already drawing interesting stories about how he's going to move into Gracie Mansion, right? Like, for a guy who is advocating for free buses and, you know, very, you know, kind of almost, you know, very socialist type things, right, in the city.
Right.
He, as mayor, gets the right to move into like this opulent house in the Upper East Side or whatever, and with a ballroom attached and everything else, right? So it's funny, though, because you would think that Times wouldn't go there so quickly.
Correct.
But they did, and I thought that was interesting.
The
media already is like, wait a minute, like, you're gonna advocate for free buses, but you're moving into
the
Gracie Mansion.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't.
So, you know, New York City is New York City,
right? And I don't subscribe to really any.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Exactly, according to Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
And you know, I'm an independent. A conservative independent, but I'm not aligned to one party. But it's funny about, we got talking about Bernie Sanders, and you know, a few years ago he was complaining about millionaires, and then he became a millionaire several times over. Now he's complaining about billionaires.
Right. So, he just moved the needle, add a couple of zeros.
Right. So, you know, maybe when he gets to be a billionaire, he's not going to complain, you know. But I mean, it's just funny how what people do to get elected.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and look, I it'll be very interesting to watch what happens down in New York City.
Yeah.
The truth is, as people have pointed out, the state and the city actually have a lot of connected type governmental function. So the state has a lot to say about what happens in New York City.
Right.
And so, you know, like, just like, what is it? The tolling that they have there, the congestion pricing,
right?
The state of New York is the ones who set that all up. The city wants it. Right.
Right.
But Governor Hochul has to sign a bill.
Okay.
Right. To make that happen. And then, you know, the thing with Trump all happened, but I don't think that's ever stopped in the city.
No.
But at the end of the day, like, the governor has to have some sort of, like, it's kind of like Washington, D.C. Like, it's like your city where you have some upper level government oversight of it.
Sure.
Right. And so that's in New York as well. So this Zoran Mamdani or whatever, he can propose a lot of things. The question is whether or not
they can
get it done. Right.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, does that change the electorate next time around? Who knows? We'll see. But,
You never know.
I mean, again, he's a guy who can talk to where you agree with him. You know, there are some politicians that are like that, right?
That
everything they say, like Bill Clinton was one of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Like, he could start talking, you would disagree with him on whatever it was. He would start talking, and by the end of the conversation, you're agreeing with him.
Exactly.
Right? Because he had that way of kind of softly getting you to his point of view.
Well,
and I think this guy has the same kind of skill. Great. I mean, and if he can get stuff done, wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I only wish for success for people.
Well, that's, I mean,
you know?
Yeah, and whether it's a state, local, county, you only want the people to benefit.
Right. Right. You know, at the end of the day, that's the most important part, is the people
and
making sure that they have what they need and services are good and their taxes are reasonable. You know, affordability is the big buzzword now. Right. And that is very true. I mean, you know, taxes get out of control, but also housing costs can get out of control.
Oh,
I mean, even here in the city of Saratoga Springs, I mean, average price of a house now is like over $400,000, I think.
Right.
You know, and places where we are, like on the west side, right? That would have been unheard of a decade ago.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm down in Geyser, and you know that it's amazing.
It's unreal. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we have about 4 minutes left, but I think a lot in my area anyway is driven by these people that come in and will pay anything they want for a house and then rent them out.
Yep.
And I mean, they're outbidding families because they don't care.
Yes.
They don't have to go to a bank to get a mortgage.
Yep.
They're backed by big corps and they can just
LLCs
buy, a house.
Buy houses.
Right.
Yep. That's happening over in my area too.
Yeah. And it's sad. I mean, I had when the mayor was in, I mean, it's happening in his neighborhood. I think he's got three or four of them and he says, you know, I don't know.
And look, I think with our election that we had, you know, that's going to be a conversation that starts up pretty quickly about, you know, short-term rentals. You know, that there was a plan that the accounts department had that they've been implementing. Right. But I know that part of Jess's campaign was to, you know, look at that a different way. Right. And so what happens when she gets into that office when it comes to the short term rental stuff? But one last thing, while we have a couple minutes left, we're doing our occupancy tax law to allow short term rentals to be taxed. The county increased their occupancy tax by 2%. We're going to give back 1% to the city, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's going to be in a local law, which is really hard to undo. Thank God. and then we're going to do our registry for our short-term rental. So so hopefully, not that the situation will get better,
right?
But we'll be able to collect some revenue to offset some of the challenges in neighborhoods that we have.
Yeah,
you know, with these
because
kinds of
things. I mean, what it ends up being is that you know your house is worth a lot more. Than what you paid for, especially if you've been there a long time. But if you sell it, where can you go?
Right.
I mean, you can't. You won't be able to live in Saratoga.
There's nowhere
so
to go.
So it's just, I don't know. It gets to a point where, you know, you love to have your city grow, and you love to have a lot of things going on.
Yep.
But then there are certain things you have to give up.
Absolutely.
And that's where we are. So, look, we have, like, a minute to go. I just want to say, again, thanks for everything you've done for Saratoga and for Saratoga County. And
my pleasure.
A person like you never disappears.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
Yeah, my next stuff will be coming out soon. It's non-elected, but.
I can't wait because you can still be on the show.
Exactly.
4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, look,
and you know you're always.
We've done the history specials. I can do those anytime. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And that'll be great.
Yeah. And we can talk politics too. I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, we can do that.
Again, like you say, private citizen Matt Veach can talk about things.
why don't we do that? Because you got the experience. Matt, thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
And feel better today.
Yes,
you
thanks.
Got your shots.
Yeah, I know.
So you're a little tight. you're a little tight. So, all right.